This is WABF, and it's time now for our brand new talk show, Foodie Friday. It's all about food and local restaurants, brought to you by Fairhope Living Magazine, with your hostess, Elodia Arnold.
Good morning, Fairhope. Hopes everyone is doing great. Ready for a wonderful Christmas parade tonight?
Yes, indeed.
We are very excited to be here with the famous Bobby Kilpatrick and Chef
Hello.
Billy Alexander.
How y'all doing this evening?
Hello, guys.
This evening?
Yeah, one of them.
Nervous?
Well, this is live radio, and you never know what you might hear. Today, we are going to talk all about food. And Billy is a native Fairhope who has recently come back after living in Chicago and other parts of the country and becoming this amazing chef. His good friend Bobby brought him here. So, guys, you want to tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got into the restaurant industry?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. All right, this is Bobby.
Yes. I own a couple of restaurants in Fairhope, born and raised in Fairhope, same as Billy. Me and Billy have been friends for many, many years. We ran with the same people. We worked in kitchens all our lives. We cooked with our mothers, the typical story. He went around the country. He's very passionate about food, always has been. And we kept in touch. Sometimes we wouldn't talk for a year. Sometimes it'd be three times a week. But we always stayed in touch. We always had a connection somehow, some way. And it was crazy because when we really needed somebody, he called me. And one of the first things he said to me was like, Bobby, why don't you hire me and I'll come run your kitchens? And then, you know, we laughed or whatever. And then we hung up and then something happened and I really needed him. So I texted him and said, how serious were you? And then literally, I think like 20 days later, he pulls up on his Harley and little else ready to cook. And he probably has been in the kitchen ever since.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So you went from Fairhope to Chicago? And
I was in Chicago for 10 years.
Let's get that microphone up to you.
Oh, I was in Chicago for 10 years. Taught culinary school in Chicago. Worked at a lot of really nice high-end restaurants and private clubs. Left Chicago and then moved to Louisiana. Was in Louisiana for about 10 years, you know, running casino restaurants and things of that sort, you know, small restaurants, clubs. Have a lot of fun.
So, Billy, you told me something interesting in our interview we did for your article, that the way you were able to get into some of those higher-end restaurants is you would just go hang out in the kitchen and watch those chefs.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, a lot of those places, you really can't sustain yourself and work in those kind of restaurants and support a family, you know, on the wages that they pay. So it was easier for me to keep my jobs at the big casinos and big country clubs, and then I would go spend my spare time in all these great restaurants just watching and learning and mimicking what they were doing and talking to them and spending a lot of time doing like events in the city where you would do like guest bartending shifts, you know, at restaurants and do like little gala dinners where a bunch of guys would gather up at one restaurant and then separate the courses and we just do plated dinners like that. Mm-hmm. So I got to meet a lot of really cool people and cook for a lot of cool people. I had a great time.
But you started that as a young boy, hanging out in the kitchen of your aunts?
Yes. Yeah, my aunt, I had two aunts that owned restaurants in Barnwell. One was Nanny's and the other one was the Blue Marlin. And so my aunts and my mom were always in the kitchen, so I would kind of just peek my head in and just kind of hang out. They would constantly be chasing me out of the kitchen because I was in there either watching or getting on their nerves, and I was really good at that.
When did they first open the Blue Marlin?
Oh my God, I have no idea.
Like everybody knows what about the Blue Marlin.
I was,
right?
Oh yeah, but, oh, I yeah. was a baby. I don't remember. I remember going there at like 4 and 5 years old or something.
I just always remember it being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was always real good from what I can remember.
Oh, the Blue Marlin is fantastic. Always has been. Yeah. Nanny's as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Love that country food in Barnwell. It gets more country when you're in Barnwell for some reason.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's the true farm-to-table beginning, so.
Definitely. And it, you would know. It's like can-to-table, whatever.
Yeah.
And, probably shouldn't say that, but back then it was anyway. I mean, it's been there since the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Probably a little bit longer than that. But you left and went off to Chicago. And tell us a little bit about some of the people that you've cooked for. You told me it was a really interesting person you cooked Thanksgiving
famous,
dinner for.
Yeah,
famous
actually, people.
I cooked Thanksgiving dinner for Jesse Jackson and his family in his home.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. And he hung out in the kitchen with us while we were cooking. We was watching the news. And I was like, man, this is really awkward. I'm going to cut my finger here watching this guy.
So he was in the kitchen watching you?
Yeah, he was hanging out in the kitchen with us.
Do you remember what y'all cooked for him? Was it a traditional Thanksgiving dinner?
It was a
different?
Vegan Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow.
So that was it was challenging to pull that off without having to use protein. So I had to use a lot of like smoked onions and things like that to mimic the flavors without having to use the proteins.
He's
and
good.
The fats.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known how to do that.
Yeah, so you learned all of that just basically working in the kitchens of all of these different restaurants.
Absolutely.
Experience.
You learn things all over the place. I've learned things from dishwashers, just watching where they might pick up something at another restaurant they've worked at, and you're just like, well, that's a good idea. You know, you just pick up things.
The people that are good are the ones that know they're constantly learning. Like, being a chef isn't like a label. It's kind of a drive, and you never get there. The ones that are good will never – they're always chasing something that they'll never catch. You know, and that can go with a lot of things, you know, but him and me both. I mean, I study everything. It's an illness probably.
It's a passion, well, Bobby.
I think I've got about 600 or 700 cookbooks.
Yeah. It's just, and even more in his head. Yeah. He took it, you know, when he came on board, I had a menu written out, and it, you know, obviously it was pretty straightforward. I didn't realize it until I gave it to him, and he just kind of took it to another level. I'm a good cook, but I'm not a chef. I'm kind of good at, you know, several things. but he is about like well-rounded, knows everything about food, and is passionate about it. And we just made a good pair. I mean, like He speaks my language, which not many people do. So,
well, running a really fabulous restaurant takes a whole lot more. It takes a fabulous menu, a great chef, but then there's a lot more to it than that. And I think that's where you come in.
Yeah.
With the atmosphere, Bobby. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I love nostalgia. I'm a firm believer in what you see and what you hear are sometimes as important as what you taste. These are all senses to someone, and if you can see something that you connect with while you're eating, whatever you're eating will taste a little more like home, you know. My language about all that can get kind of out there, but I believe in it, and Billy understands it. Or he certainly acts like he understands it, even when I don't. I just said that and that other thing. But anyway, when I say that Billy speaks my language, he's the first person that I've worked, that has worked for us, that when I say these things, he totally gets it. And he finishes my sentences sometimes. It's been very nice.
That's important to have that bond and that understanding.
And if we both weren't from Fairhope and kind of like the same, you know, doing some of the same things, good and bad, we wouldn't be that way. So everything you do when you're young, it's going to reflect as you get older. And so we're always looking back at nostalgia and things like that. So that's why my restaurants look the way they do. You know, a little taste of home, even hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
tell us a bit about your restaurants.
Well, the Bone and Barrel. Does everybody? We all know about the Bone and Barrel. Also, I want to give a shout out to my girls at Emmy's. I'll be there today to give y'all a hug. But my restaurant, The Bone and Barrel, it's in downtown Fairhope mm-hmm. Avenue. We serve a little bit of everything. It was designed, the original menu was designed to have a little bit of everything. Back in the day, if you wanted pasta, you go to Gambino's. If you wanted a burger, you go to Ben's. If you wanted whatever, you went somewhere else. Well, we try to put a little bit of everything on this menu. I've got a picture of Frankenstein in the Bone and Barrel, and that's kind of a metaphor for the menu. It's like, you know, a lot of different things, a lot of different parts. You know, we have pasta, steak, burgers, po' boys, you know, great fresh fish, local shrimp. So you can go in there in any kind of mood and probably find something you want. You know, that was the whole design of it, was to put all those things on there. Even pasta, the seafood pasta. Now the Little Whiskey is kind of like is going to be a kind of like the little sister restaurant of the Bone and Barrel, but a nicer version of the Bone and Barrel, meaning like the food will be more gourmet, the atmosphere. Don't get me wrong, I'm still going to be eclectic. And as most people know, we were LWCC, the Christmas bar, and we're going to stay the Christmas bar, but in the bar area. The rest will be dining, fine dining, fine dining-ish. I'll never go that fine. But the food is definitely going to be fine dining and gourmet, and that's where Billy shines, really. He kind of shows off sometimes, I think.
Mm-hmm. You've done a revamping of Little Whiskey.
Yes, man, we had to. It was, you know, COVID really hurt us, but it hurt a lot of people. And I'm not making excuses. We're still in the fight, and we're gonna win. We had to change it up when we reopened. I guess some other bars didn't reopen, and some of the awful people that went to those places started coming to LWCC, and so we had to make some changes, and quickly, and we did. And it's hard to revamp without changing ownership, but if anybody can do it, we can.
Well, tell me a little bit about your menu. You've got something really interesting here that I have not seen at any of the other restaurants, and that's your charcuterie selection. So how did you come about that, and tell us a little bit about your charcuterie board selections?
Well, I'll start, because you'll be able to, he can say the fancy words better than me, but it was something that was on the menu before Billy came on board, and it was just something that it's a very, I look at it as a very social appetizer, really, just something that hand to mouth, that in a social setting, because that's what we want people coming to the Little Whiskey to have a glass of wine, sit on the patio under the big oak tree and talk about their day and nibble on things. So charcuterie just kind of fit that bill. When I wrote it out, it wasn't as you know, I had, what I think I had, pepperoni and salami, cheese.
Yes, but now we have prosciutto. But,
oh yeah. And so when Billy saw my menu, take it away, Billy.
Well, you know, I just, everything, the menu had really good bones to begin with, so all I really did was add a couple of ingredients and put a couple of bells and whistles here and there, and ran with it. We're doing the charcuterie now with prosciutto, sopressata, and Genoa salami. We do a pecorino, which is a sheep's milk cheese, a hard cheese. We do a gorgonzola dolce, a brie, or we do like a Fram d'Ambert or some other types of cheeses. That it comes with like an apple mostarda with pecans and maple syrup, chimichurri gremolata, gastrique of muscadine with red wine vinegar, spiced pecans, crostini. So we just wanted to give, that way they can build almost their own little small sandwich, or they can have, you know, one of the little accompaniments with the mustard with the prosciutto, or if they want to try the acidic gremolata with the fatty salami, so you have something to cut that fat, so everything is balanced. So that's why we try to do that.
So where did you learn, I mean, where do you source all of these ingredients? Those sound just delicious, but I'm not sure where I might would find them.
They're ingredients I've used throughout my career cooking. Random vendors that you come in contact with. I've got a guy that lives out in the middle of nowhere in Illinois that makes cheese for me.
Oh, wow.
So when I get in touch with him, he'll send me fresh raw milk cheeses.
Delicious.
That does sound,
you know, a lot of cool farmers that I ran into that were growing heirloom vegetables, you know, and I love them. So I'll track those down wherever I can find them. Then when I move here, I'll reach out to people. Like I reached out to a couple of friends of mine, looking for local farms and things of that sort to kind of get some local ingredients, you know, on the menu as well, and also support, you know, local agriculture, you know.
Right, because you guys really, at the Whiskey and at the Bone, you specialize in all local ingredients. Is that correct?
As much as we can. I mean, with things as they are, with everything, all the prices going up, it's getting harder and harder to be, you know, to do everything farm to table. But we do certainly support all of our local when we can.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, unfortunately, you know, the prices are going up. I hope everybody understands, it's, you know, we don't just make this stuff up, but it's,
yeah, we're all subject to inflation right now.
Yeah, it's supply chain is killing us too. Like, you know, a lot of our vendors don't even have the products when we order them to get them to us. So it's kind of, it's hard even getting your hands on things sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if we're out of anything at either place, trust me, we want it on the menu as well. Well, I don't think we've been out of anything. If we run out of anything, it's because we were super busy.
No, I've just had to get with the vendors and find supplements and, you know, the other items that we could use to fill the bill for the time being. But it's kind of the nature of the beast right now.
That's right.
That's interesting. That's affecting everybody all across the various different industries, from supplies to, you know, having good staff. And
the staff is huge. I mean, like, we're only as good as the people we hire. I mean, and we're one bad person away from a bad review or what, which would be is devastating to me if I ever hear anything like that. It's hard for me to even walk in either place when we're going because I get so I'm real particular about things, and I think they call that OCD or ADHD, something like that.
Being no, particular is good.
I know. Yes.
You just want to provide good service.
That goes back to that whole thing. I'm always chasing something I know I'll never catch. You know, it's. I mean, it's got to be an illness. I mean, exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Striving for perfection, though. Well, in your industry, a very good thing.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, I hope so. It seems to be working out okay. So.
Now, if I wanted to have lunch in Fairhope, where could I, what time could I come? Could I come to the Whiskey for that, or would I have to go to the Bone?
Well, right now the Little Whiskey is not open for lunch, but the Bone and Barrel is at 11 o'clock, 7 days a week.
Excellent.
And if you don't come to the Bone and Barrel, there's several places in downtown Fairhope that are very good. We all, like every restaurant, you know, in Fairhope, you have to be good or you wouldn't be there. You know, it's is it a competition? I guess so. There's a lot of hungry people in Fairhope. My lovely Fairhope people love to eat and drink. So even restaurants close by, whether it be the Bakeries or Dragonfly at the Alley, all these are really, really good places. We just want to keep people on this side of town, I guess. So yes, we're not really competing with each other as much as we are those others.
Well, you know what? By the time the show wraps up, it's going to be about 10:30. So it's getting close to lunchtime.
Yes, it is.
So I'm kind of craving a cheeseburger. Can I come to the Bone for that?
Of course. We've got some of the best burgers in town.
Yes, you do.
Awesome.
They're very unhealthy and wonderful.
My favorite is it the Debris Po' Boy? What's it called?
The Debris?
Yes.
It's
classic
New Orleans.
So
kinda
good.
Yeah. It's a big hit. Really?
I prefer the J. Burrell, personally.
That's the one
with the fried shrimp on top of it. Yeah.
We were thinking, you know, surf and turf. How do we get the best of both worlds? So there we have it, you know.
Now, what did Jack specifically, or did you just come up with that name to honor him?
It was certainly to honor him. Me and Jack are friends. He on a personal level, he did something for me that he didn't have to do, and he don't even know what it is, and I'll never tell him. But he did something very kind, and that's kind of my way of paying him back, I guess. I don't know. It just kind of popped into my head, and I kind of trust the things that I come up with. It just made a lot of sense to me, at the time to call it and name a sandwich after him because I didn't know what else to call it. So.
So
why
you trust
not?
Your intuition. You
yes,
let your intuition
definitely.
Guide you in this business.
Yes, me and Jack have a mutual respect for each other. I know, you know, you hear things, but we're in Fairhope. I mean, people talk about others, but Jack's a good guy.
Yes, he is.
And I love him. So now he gets a sandwich. Now everybody else, quit telling me to name a sandwich after you. You might get it. I don't know. We'll see. But my mom. Of course, I had the Mama K. That's my mama. Because, you know, I can't name one thing and not include my mom.
Of course
I made that
not.
Mistake. Yeah, don't do that. You should have loaned me your cast iron when I was growing up, Mama.
Well, I mean, you do have your mama to thank for your existence.
Oh, without a doubt. I can thank my mama for a lot of things and tell her I'm sorry about even more.
She's a sweetheart.
She is, and one hell of a cook, and I drove her crazy. I totaled a car when I was five. I mean, it's
why were you driving a car when you were five?
I took it out of gear, and it rolled down a hill.
Well,
if I ever see my mom, ask her how I was when I was 5 years old, and then sit down with a bottle of wine, because it's going to be a while.
Well, I think that kind of explains a lot of things right there.
Yeah, it does.
Well, tell us what we can expect for the future from The Bone, from Little Whiskey. Is there going to be live music at Little Whiskey? What can we, you know, what can we hope to look forward to?
Yes, we're going to do, like I said, you know, the Little Whiskey, it's going to be a better version of The Bone and Barrel, a nicer version, kind of, you know. So where we do full live bands at The Bone, we're going to start introducing acoustical one- and two-man shows from time to time. We're going to focus on the patio under the big oak tree. It's the best patio in Fairhope.
It is beautiful.
And some of the best food in Fairhope. We have two incredible staffs that I can't praise enough. You know, there's so many people in my life make me look good. Why go anywhere else? And they're right by each other, so...
I would put a plug in for a brunch on Sundays underneath the oak at the Little Whiskey.
I keep hearing that. So, you know, we're getting there.
But now at the Little Whiskey, you're not open for lunch.
Not yet.
But it's Tuesday through Sunday?
Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
At 5 p.m. until, which means midnight and 2 a.m., depending on what day. The Bone and Barrel is 7 days a week at 11 o'clock until. So, seems like we're always open. You can ask Billy. He works a whole lot.
You've got to juggle and supervise both kitchens and get your hands dirty and involved as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It keeps it interesting, you know. So you're always trying to find staff and you're trying to put them in the place to succeed. So it's been a lot of juggling, moving people from here to there. Some of the guys were doing, or some of them were in one position, and I moved them to another position, and they excelled. So it's just you got to find the right spot for who you have to work with, mm-hmm. and you know, then again, we're always looking for talent, you know, always.
If you love to cook, come see us.
But also, to me, a testament of a great place and great management is longevity of employees, and you've had a lot of the same employees for quite some time.
We certainly do our best to take care of the our people. During COVID, we gathered our main people, our crew. We tried to support them when they weren't working as best we could, and I think we did pretty good. They're still with us. Everybody went through some rough times. I'm one of the lucky ones that gets to look at the same faces before and now after.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, my partner Noel, you know, he's all about that. You know, we're only as good as the people we hire, and we believe that. So we try to take care of them because they certainly take care of me.
Do you have advice for those
don't
that
do it.
May want to get into the business?
Yes. I would make sure you are passionate about everything that deals with the kitchen. Like, not just cooking, but that's where it starts. If you love to cook, you need to get your hands dirty. If I could change anything, and I think we've talked about this, Billy. If I knew when I was younger that I was going to be a restaurateur for the rest of my life, I would have learned how to work on coolers and air conditioners and
the refrigeration.
Imagine, like, how much more money we'd save if I knew how to fix these things?
Wow, it's always something. You know, yeah, you just put so much wear and tear on the equipment, you know, throughout service.
So you're saying, tell young. Instead of going to college, go learn how to be a small engine repair person.
That's the beauty about food. It deals with every facet of your life. Everybody has to eat. And then why go somewhere to eat? Well, you're going to go somewhere we don't sell food and booze. We sell an experience. And, you know, you're not at home. You're coming in wanting to see something different. And we try to provide that. And I could probably be a licensed plumber, you know, if I wanted to be, because I have – done that. I've done like it's amazing what you learn on this job. But if anybody getting into the business, the first thing I would say is don't do it. No, do it if you're passionate about it. If you're not, don't even waste your time.
Mm-mm.
There's people that are really passionate about food that,
and it's your lifestyle. It's not something that you just shut off.
No, and I would recommend somebody at least work in the industry for a year before they even think about it.
Yeah,
that's important.
Yeah, because it's a lot. If you're not invested, it's a lot.
What about holiday reservations? Are reservations needed? Can you host parties for the, folks that want to have gatherings at either location?
To be honest with you, both places are really, really almost full for December. But the Little Whiskey still has some openings. I don't know what they are right now, but you would have to call our manager, Rebecca. We'll be happy to take your call and make any reservation you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah, we're booked. I mean, we got a bunch. Yeah, I want to say every Friday and Saturday in December at the Bone and Barrel is booked. The upstairs is. We can still do, you know, reservations of parties of eight or more. The bigger heads up you give us, the more accommodating we can be. If you walk up on a Friday night at 8 o'clock with 10 people, we'll do what we can to get you in. You know, we don't like to turn anyone away. And usually, I mean, there's times where we do, unfortunately. But there's a reason. It's because we're so busy.
Well, we are just about out of time, so just tell us one more time your hours and where you're located.
We are on 311 Fairhope Avenue.
That's the Bone and Barrel.
The Bone and Barrel is at 311 Fairhope Avenue. We're 7 days a week at 11 a.m. we open, and that is until at least midnight, usually sometimes 2 a.m. And right behind the Bone and Barrel on Church Street is the Little Whiskey, and we are open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 p.m. until...
All right. Well, I just want to do a huge thank you to Bobby Kilpatrick and Billy Alexander for coming in today and being on the Foodie Friday presented by Fairhope Living.
So, that's so exciting.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah. My pleasure.
Our debut show. Thank you all.
Yep, thank y'all.
All right. You've been listening to Foodie Friday, brought to you by Fairhope Living Magazine with your hostess, Elodia Arnold. Thank you so much for joining us. This is also going to be shown later on Facebook and social media as we videoed, correct?
Absolutely. We have a video of this, so you can check out Fairhope Living on Facebook and watch the video
Cabbage
as well.
Patch.
All right. Thank you so much. This is WABF. We are resuming regular programming. Oh, and just to remind you, we will also post the audio of this on our website, WABF1480.com, in case you want to listen later. There's only so much holiday food one can eat during this time of year. So bring your friends and family to the Little Whiskey in Fairhope, with fine dining and a casual atmosphere, and plenty of room to hang out and visit. Enjoy the best happy hour in town from 5 until 9 p.m. and a great meal or app. Chef Billy has kicked up the menu with pickled shrimp, a barrel-cut filet, charcuterie boards, skillet pizzas, lamb, and more. Start a new holiday tradition at Little Whiskey.
Yeah.
With the largest patio under the oldest oak in Fairhope. Open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 until. Easy access and parking from the city parking garage. Celebrate the holidays at Little Whiskey, North Church Street, downtown Fairhope.
Yeah.
This is WABF 1480.
Softly she comes, whispers the breeze with her passing. In secret love she is laughing. Softly she comes in the night.